Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojopa Maria Ensaroma. And the month of October is still an Earth month, and the elemental opportunities it provides have all to do with demonstrating your ability to be generous, compassionate, considerate, and trustworthy. Tonight, I continue my four-part series that I've been doing all month on being at home with yourself. And in this broadcast, I'll be sharing wisdom and insights on returning home to yourself. Because last week, we talked about running away from yourself. So, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, here's a brief overview of my broadcast. Wisdom Walk is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, I broadcast live unless I'm on hiatus or something unexpected has gone on. And in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you may listen to this live broadcast and or call into the show at this number. It's area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Also, the web link provided on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, or Black Hole Radio's Facebook page, Black Hole Radio, or it may come in a constant contact email that I send out. That web link becomes the archive link when I've concluded the live broadcast. So what that means is if you're listening live and you get disrupted for whatever reason, you don't have to worry because the archive link will allow you to listen to the show when it's most comfortable for you. So if you can't listen live, you can listen later. So now I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. And always, as I do, I want to open my show with honoring the ancestors. And for this Sunday, I thought we would focus on those who returned home to themselves. Really, really important stuff there. So I want you to take in a few deep breaths. Just kind of clear out your mind. Close your eyes. And think about all the ancestors, blood related or not. Either knew them in person or you didn't. Could be a famous person from history or a celebrity that you jive with, that you connect with. I want you to think about a person or persons who were able to return home to the truth of who they were. And they were a joy to be around as a result of that. And again, if it was a celebrity or somebody in history, you know, just knowing about a story that somebody that came home to themselves. Do you see that person in your mind? Do you see those persons? So now take about 30 seconds to just speak their names aloud. Speak their names aloud. And I'm going to invoke all our ancestors who came home to themselves by saying, ancestors, 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 those of you who came home to yourself, those of you who were able to return to the truth of who you are after having left that, after having not liked yourself and been involved with people and situations that were not good, not helpful, not loving to yourself. But you found a way to get out of that. You found a way to come home to yourself. And so we're calling out to you because we are in need of your wisdom, your guidance, and your love. You for whom problems here are not problems there. You who can see in all directions at once. Leaving home within is something, especially in modern times, it's very, very easy to do. And so we've got to grow our consciousness, grow our commitment to staying at home within ourselves, to cherishing that, to honoring it, to taking care of it, to knowing it. And so, again, we need your help. We really need your help. And so, Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, all the one of all that is, thank you, thank you, thank you for these great emissaries, the ancestors who are wanting us to win, wanting to support us. Thank you for bringing them into our lives. And thank you for all of these requests, and I know that these requests are going to be answered with great blessings. All that is holy. I say amen. Ashe Yeho Asah Shinga Bizrila, and so it is. How wonderful. How wonderful. Because, yes, tonight we are going to be talking about that coming home to your true self, coming home to who and what you really are. But I'm going to first now talk about the elemental wisdom for this week and also some of the astrological stuff that is going to be going on in the middle of the week. So starting tomorrow, Monday, we are moving out of an earth week and into a fire week, and that'll last from tomorrow through Sunday, the 28th. So here's the opportunity for this fire week. It's all about being truthful with yourself and others. Call upon those ancestors to bring you clarity when you feel confused or conflicted. Walk your talk. Live in self-referred consciousness, meaning trust your intuition and honest feelings more than the opinions, advice, or judgments of others. Allow your inner authentic self to be in charge of your life versus the image of yourself that you might project out into the world. As Mr. Rogers said, people can love you exactly the way you are. So how aligned this is, and I didn't make this up. It's like, wow, how aligned this is with what I'm going to be talking about tonight in terms of really, you know, being your authentic self and choosing to be that in the face of, you know, temptations to move away from that. So here are some distractions. Here are some temptations that can show up for you this week, but that I know you're going to be able to say no to so that you can be true to what the elemental wisdom is in this fire week. So the first one is about maintaining the status quo, which is basically going along with the program of the majority, you know, trying to fit in, especially when it doesn't work for you. Maintaining the status quo, you want to really watch out for that. That can be a big distraction. Number two, abandoning your true self in order to please others or avoid conflict is a big one. Something that as adults we really do have to stay vigilant about. Because, you know, to get that paycheck, get that promotion, whatever, you know, we will very easily believe that I'll abandon myself for a little bit and then I'll get what I want. Then I'll go back to being myself, you know, not realizing there are consequences. There are consequences for that. Number three, lying to yourself or others. And you know what that is because we do that a lot. Number four, sacrificing your needs in order to belong or to be included. Another one of those kind of, you know, let me go along with somebody else's program to get what I need. And then last but not least, that fear of not being liked, loved, or accepted. The fear of not being liked, loved, or accepted. Please say no to that. Because if you're depending on somebody else to do what only you can do for yourself, only you can love yourself, like yourself, accept yourself. Then people show up who can support you in that. But if you're not doing that, yeah, it's going to be hard to get other people to go along with your program. So, again, those are the distractions. The big message here is about being truthful with yourself and with others. So next week, Monday, October 29th, we'll be moving into a mineral week. Ah, and I will be sharing more about that in the next broadcast. All right. Astrology from Barbara Goldsmith, who I really like. We are having a full moon in Taurus this Wednesday, October 24th. This is the full moon that's considered the harvest moon. It'll be the last full moon of the fall before we... No, that's not true. We'll have one more in November. We'll have one more in November. But this will be the full moon, the middle full moon, which is called the harvest moon. So it's pretty significant. And it's interesting, this energy of Taurus, which, you know, Taurus has all to do with home and relationships and self-image and, you know, all of these kind of basic, how can I say, almost like survival things that we need. So it's interesting that the message from it has a lot to do with us releasing stuff. So here's what Barbara says. She says, very powerful energies are in the heavens because 7 out of the 10 planets are in fixed signs. And so that means there's an opportunity to look at your life and ask yourself, what do I need to release? It could be clothes, books, a relationship, a job, a career, anything that you are holding onto tightly out of fear rather than joy. That's the big, big thing there. If you're holding onto something out of fear rather than joy, you really need to consider letting it go. Wherever you have self-imposed restrictions, she says, you will have an opportunity this week to reassess them and see what continues to serve you and what needs to go. I like that. I like that one. I am definitely going to be looking at that for me. I'm very good at imposing restrictions on myself, and as I think all of us are. But again, it's really important to make sure that we are not sabotaging ourselves, thinking that, oh, I'm just being disciplined, but sometimes we can really be sabotaging ourselves. She goes on to say that this full moon may show you where you are doing the same old thing, and again, in a particular relationship. So meaning that a pattern may be exposed to you that you think you've moved on or gone on to the new, but in actuality you may be doing the same old thing time and again in a particular relationship. She also reminds us that Venus is retrograde still, and in fact it'll be retrograde. It started off in Scorpio a couple of weeks ago, and it's moving into Libra, and it'll be in Libra until November the 16th. And so at the end of the month when it moves into Libra, she says, this will give you an opportunity to make changes in your relationships. So again, more of this kind of relationship change stuff, which really starts with stuff changing in us. She says you may need to break out of a rut. It may be uncomfortable at first, but if a relationship is stagnant, it's a good time to look at ways of reviving it or possibly releasing it and letting it go. Now, of course, she's not just talking about intimate relationships or family relationships. It can also be in terms of friendships. It could also be in terms of work situations. So, again, we're just in that time of really discerning and being honest and truthful in this fire week about, you know, what we can hold on to but what we really need to let go of. Finally, she says, as Taurus rules your senses, it's time to try out new foods, new drinks, anything that soothes your soul. You might find a new way of making an income. Break out of your fixed ideas and try something new. Taurus rules your senses. It's time to think about what gives you pleasure and to do more of that. Well, that's a really good part of the message about taking care of ourselves during this wonderful full moon that is coming up. So there you have it. Truth, being truthful and acting on that truth by letting go of people, situations, or items that really are no longer supporting the truth of who you are. And breaking out of being rigid, opening up and becoming more flexible is kind of what she's saying, you know, letting things flow so that we can get to all these new energies and new things that are coming into our lives at this time. So now, tonight I am going to be continuing this wisdom and insight around the home within. So I'm going to start off with a review of what the major points I made on the initial broadcast and what I did last week about why we run away from the home within. And then I'm going to focus on that returning home. Like, why? Why do we want to return home after we've run away? And how does that happen? How can it happen? And then, of course, I'm going to share a personal challenge with you. So I really like this quote that I was able to find this week. It's by a woman named Rebecca Solnit, and I didn't even get a chance to kind of look up, you know, her background and stuff. But it comes from what I believe is either a book or it might be an essay that she wrote called Storming the Gates of Paradise, Landscapes for Politics. Really interesting. So I really got to follow up on this. I just didn't have time this week. But the quote is, the desire to go home, that is a desire to be whole, to know where you are, to be the point of intersection of all the lines drawn through all the stars, to be the constellation maker and the center of the world, that center called love, to awaken from sleep, to rest from awakening, to tame the animal, to let the soul go wild, to shelter in darkness and blaze with light, to cease to speak and be perfectly understood. Beautiful poetry, absolutely beautiful poetry. And, you know, it's that really captures for me, and hopefully for you, just the energetic of it, that essence about, you know, this going home. And she talks about love, you know, being a consolation maker and being the center of the world, that center called love. Because this whole thing about home within and leaving home and coming back home, it all has to do with love. All has to do with love. Your home within, it's that peaceful and loving place inside of you. It's your central domain. It's your true source of abundance, wellness, happiness, peace, and, of course, love. It's the resonance of your soul, that part of you that was never born, can never die. It knows right from wrong, and it knows how to choose love over fear. It's a place inside of you that you came into this earthly dimension with, and it's full of wisdom, knowledge, and divine love. It's the inner temple that holds your sacred contracts. It's what makes your existence divine, part of a divine plan. It's your authentic power. It's what animates you to be here and to be on this journey of learning how to choose love over fear, how to go away from home and how to return home. And sometimes we do that many times. We do it many, many times. But we have this place within us to return to. This is what's most important. I did an analogy of the home within, just like what a physical home would have, where you'd have food, you'd have a place to sleep, you'd have your bed, and you'd have some light, you know, because we need light in our home. And I talked about the food as the source of your capacity for self-actualizing, for being a self-master, for loving yourself, for having interdependence and personal sovereignty, that, you know, this is a place of your energy flow. You know, you've got that food, that sustenance. Your bed or your comfort, this is about being safe and feeling at peace. because you know that you are never alone. You're connected to a greater order and direction. Excuse me. It's also about being able to have a center, that place that you can stay in, be comfortable in, even when everything else around you is just crazy. When the person you're dealing with may be just acting a fool, you don't have to go along with that because you've got a place inside of you that says, that's not my stuff. I'm just going to lay right here in my bed within and be comfortable, and I'll just, observe. And if I need to be helpful, I will, but otherwise I'll just keep my mouth shut and I'm just going to watch what's going on. You know, we have that ability. It's a groundedness. It's our ability to stay grounded. It also is our ability to, again, have that consciousness of observing without having to react to things so that we can figure out how to respond, you know. So that comfort place inside of us, that bed inside of us. And then last but not least, our light is really that experience of our higher consciousness, our higher self, that ability to walk in faith, to have courage, compassion, to practice forgiveness, to choose love over fear, and, of course, to give and receive love. This is what I mean by a home within, that we have these kinds of supports, these kinds of abilities and capabilities and capacities that just live inside of us. Every human being has it. There's no one born into this world that doesn't have this. Everybody has it. It's what really makes us human. It's part of what makes us human. And so my personal challenge that first week was to ask you to really investigate that, explore that. Like, what is your home within? You know, how conscious of it are you about it? And do you have those three assets? Do you put them to use? Do you know about them, and do you put them to use? Are you using your food, your bed, and your light, your sustenance, your comfort, and your higher self? Are you using all that? Then last week we talked about running away from home, because we all do this. Even when we think we aren't, we can be doing it. I know from experience. It's really interesting. You know, we'll convince ourselves that we come up with so many excuses or so many what we think is a good reason for abandoning or running away from our truth. But, you know, there's consequences. So eventually we learn that, oh, okay, I wasn't in my right mind. Oh, I was trying to recreate the past. That's a big reason why we will run away from ourselves. So, for example, you know, people who maybe have never liked the way that they look, they don't like themselves, and they're comparing themselves to what they think beauty is, and they go and spend money on facelift or, you know, something like that. And, you know, it doesn't last. It really doesn't last, even though, you know, because, you know, I mean, there's just a force inside of us that's going to age. That, you know, and it's nothing that a human being can really prevent. It's going to happen. So, you know, that's a part of running away from ourselves, not being able to embrace the fact that our wrinkles are going to happen. And so how do we love them? How do we embrace them? How do we love them rather than thinking that they shouldn't be there and trying to get rid of them? You know, so that's just one example. That's one example, small example, too, of how we run away from ourselves. And so at the bottom, at the root of why we run away is because we don't feel good about ourselves. We don't like ourselves. And for whatever reason, it could be cosmetic, but it could also be because of we were invalidated as children, or as we were growing up, we were made to feel less, wrong, ashamed, ugly, stupid. It can be self-negation, where we mentally support the invalidation because we're always talking down on ourselves. We're always criticizing ourselves or, you know, not allowing ourselves to take the necessary risks to experience ourselves and get validated, you know, like we might shy away from that. So that's self-negation. And the other thing is if we've been orphaned from our purpose, if we've lost the connection to our higher purpose, our sacred contract, because there was no one around as we were growing up to help us remember, or maybe even if they did, we still didn't get enough support to act on it, to actualize it. So those three things really, you know, they really trigger and allow our victim consciousness to run our show, to run our day. And once you're in victim consciousness, you run away from your home. You really have run away from your home. If you're believing the world is out to get you, if you have a villain in your life, you've run away from home. You really run away from home, yeah. And let me say, if you have a villain that, because I'm not talking about that there is a force out there that is trying to, you know, go against you, keep you from doing what you need to do. I'm talking about somebody you need to forgive, somebody that you're blaming for all of your problems and stuff. You know, that's what I'm talking about in terms of victim consciousness. Somebody out to get me, you know, and falling into that. Because the reality is, if you're doing good stuff, there's going to be a force that's going to try to sabotage that and block that. You know, we know that that's how the universe works. But we don't have to hold on to being a victim to what somebody did or didn't do in our life. And that's where forgiveness comes in. You know, that's where forgiveness comes in. So when we can't get at that, you know, hey, we have really run away from ourselves. So I also talked about what keeps us running, you know, when I said what keeps us on the lam, you know. One is codependency, where we depend on others to make us feel good about ourselves or vice versa. Self-abandonment, which is going along with other people's programs, following the status quo. And without addressing our own needs, you know, we might play the martyr. We'll take on other people's stuff in order to not have to deal with our own. You know, again, it's dropping the ball in terms of us mattering. Like we just stop to matter. It becomes about everybody and everything else around us. And then vacant self-esteem, and this is that wearing a mask of confidence and emotional wellness when inside your pain body and your trauma mind, thing one and thing two, invite the cousin, anxiety, and they just hold you hostage. They just hold you hostage. Oh, my God. But, you know, from the outside, no one would know it because you work very hard to hide that. Very hard to hide that. So, again, those areas, those things, codependency, self-abandonment, vacant self-esteem, these are the things that will keep us away from our home within. They will keep us from returning home within. Yeah. So the personal challenges I gave last week was, you know, how far have you run from home? How often do you receive invalidation versus validation? How often do you practice self-negation versus self-actualization? And then about being orphaned from your higher purpose. Are you still orphaned from it, or are you in the process of reconnecting to it, remembering it? Now, last week I also said the good news about running away from home is that at some point we become tired of being a victim or bored with being out on that road away from ourselves. We become curious about what home might be like and wanting to learn how to love ourselves and have fulfillment in life. And that is the good news because that really is why we choose to go back home, all of that. And all of that is about love. It really is. It really, really, really is. So in a nutshell, when we have run away from home, when we have abandoned ourselves, when we are playing at being somebody else, it's love that calls and brings us back home, not fear. And this is really, really important. Excuse me, because you would think that it may be that you get into a place or a situation, if you're not being who you really are, where, you know, things start to really go bad or you're not fulfilled, you're not happy, and you become afraid that maybe this is how you'll be for the rest of your life, and then so you go back home to yourself. But no, it really is love. I mean, you may, you know, get to that point where you are tired, you're bored, and like, I really want to know who I am. But it's love that is really calling you, and it's a love that brings us back home. It really, really, really is. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. It's hard to wrap our heads around that because it's so abstract. You know, when I say love, we want to first put a face to it, right? We want to people it, you know. But I'm just talking about an energy. I'm talking about a force. And yes, it will manifest as people, as things, as information, as ideas, as songs, as dances, as poetry. You know, it will manifest into all those forms and all those ways, but it is this incredible, incredible force that is working on your behalf 24/7, eternally, always. It really, really is. And so let me give you a little example of how love can call us back home. It'll present to us a memory or a remembering in the most amazing way when we have been, you know, separated from ourselves. Family example has to do with an aunt of mine who goes off to college, and she was the first one to actually go and complete college in the family back in the 50s. And in college, she meets a man who came from the West Indies. And so they, you know, decide to get married, and she decides that she's going to go live in the West Indies. And it all seems, you know, just, right, paradise, like happy ending, dream come true. Well, she gets down there and finds that it's a very different culture in the West Indies from what she was used to growing up in Wilmington, Delaware. And one of the things that happens is that she finds that her husband is a philanderer, and that's in that community was kind of accepted and expected that this is what men do. And of course it really wrecked her ego, really, really. And so she got very depressed, told the story. I can remember this when I was a little girl. She would tell the story of how she had the radio on in her kitchen, and on for the radio came Ray Charles singing the song "Georgia on My Mind." And it brought her to tears because she could hear in that song the call of home. And it was after that experience that she decided she needed to go back home. And so she did. So that's just one example of how, you know, love will present you with this remembering, you know, because that song just helped her remember, you know, her home and that she had a loving family and that she didn't have to stay and be miserable. In Brazil, that kind of call and pull to a place or even a person, they call it saudade, saudade. I just love that word. It's so mellifluous, saudade. And it is that kind of, you know, melancholy, you know, that feel of wow, I could go home, you know, I could go back to a loving environment, a loving place. And so that is what can happen to us when we have gone away from ourselves. We will get that saudade, we will get that pull. Might be a song that comes on a radio, you know, or a movie that you watch. That's another way that, you know, love will talk with you. You'll watch a movie and you'll be like, oh my God, I got to change something up in me. Another way that love will call us back home is not as sentimental and as kind as the examples I just gave. It's about the smackdown. Love will call you back home if you don't pay attention to the kind and loving and gentle way it's been calling you. It will give you a smackdown to help you get back home, a big smackdown. And another family example has to do with my sister's aneurysm. So my sister was definitely living a lifestyle of being abandoned herself and really not in the truth of who she really is. And she'd really cut herself off from family and friends. She wasn't being very sociable. She was staying very isolated. She was in a very codependent, toxic relationship that she'd been in for years. She was just really, really stuck. And so she got a smackdown. She got an aneurysm, and she was in the hospital dying. And she miraculously came out of it. And today, my sister has addressed her alcohol issues, and she's been sober now for about 3.5 years. And she also has let go of depression and being stressed out and believing that life isn't joyous. She's just a pleasure to be around. She's a pleasure to talk to compared to what was going on before the aneurysm. Like, she really came home to herself. And she will tell you, she will say, that aneurysm saved my life. It really woke me up to who I really am and what I really want in life. So that's just one example. A very extreme one, but that's sometimes what has to happen to get us to go back home. You know, it's like in the story of the prodigal son. You know, he's out, you know, he's left home. He was young and foolish. He wanted his fortune before his father even died. You know, couldn't wait. He was impatient. And his father knew, he's young, he's crazy. Let me just give it to him and he'll learn. And he does learn, because he spends up all his money, gets taken advantage of, and he's like down and out. He's working as a servant, taking care of pigs, which is like the worst job in the world. And he gets to a point where he's actually envious of the food that the pigs are eating. That's how hungry he was, and that's how badly treated he was being as a servant. And he just wakes up to, like, I'm done. I got to go home. And, you know, once we get this idea, I got to go home, that's a big risk, because when you've gone away from yourself, you really can't imagine that you can come back to yourself. It's really hard. You want to come, but then you're like, is there still a home? Can I find my way back? Will I be welcomed? Meaning, will I not beat myself up with guilt and shame and blame if I go back, you know? And will I be able to stay? These are the things that crop up. And so here, love shows up again, because it is love that gives us the will and the courage to take the risk to go back home, you know, because we don't know how to do it. This is going to be really clear. When you've gone away from yourself, like with my sister, as far away as she has, there's just no way. There's no way you can imagine, you can know. And so it really is love that comes and it gives you a will and a courage. My dear friend, Miss Sarah, told me I could share one of her personal stories, which is about forgiveness of her mother. Her mother was very neglectful. Her mother had herself had a very difficult childhood, and so as a parent, she transferred that pain onto her children. And so Miss Sarah didn't get from her mother the kind of nurturing and attention and support that she really wanted. And so it was a really hard relationship for her. But her mother had died, and Miss Sarah was at a point where she decided she wanted to go back to her home where she had been born, and she wanted to be in that environment for a little bit. And so she did. She answered the call. She went back home, and it was while she was there that she began to learn more of the stories about her mother's childhood. And in learning those stories, she found out why her mother was the way she was. And so she was able to let go of believing that there was something wrong with her in order for her mother to treat her that way. She really, these were ancestral wounds, you know, being transferred from one generation to the next. So for Miss Sarah to have left where she was living in this beautiful Southern California environment and go back to a place where there was snow and ice, you know that was love. That was love giving her the will and the courage to do that, to go back to a physical home, but it was also how she was able to go back to a home within. Because when we're carrying around what I call mama drama, daddy drama, you know, that ancestral wound stuff, you're not liking yourself. You're not loving yourself. You know, it, your home, that bed in your home within ain't comfortable. You know, it's a bed of straw. And there may not be a lot of food in your cupboards when you're carrying that stuff. And so when we can, through the power of forgiveness and love, be able to eliminate those feelings and those beliefs, you're talking about peacemaking? Yeah. Yes. It really, really works. And so, you know, like the prodigal son, again, back to that, can you imagine how scared he must have been when he decided the pigs got better food than me, I need to go home, you know? He must have been so afraid, because not only was he worried about, will his father accept him, he was worried about this older brother, you know, being in judgment of him. And so his plan was, I'll just really humble myself. I'll just tell my father that, please forgive me, but I will work as your servant. You know, just treat me like the servants, and I'll be so happy. I just want to be in this environment. I just want to be around home. And so for him to have made that journey back, taking those risks, again, that was love. That was really love. Another example about that, it's love that really takes you home. It's love that is working on your behalf. It has to do with the work that I did with the men in my Wisdom Walk program and why that program was so successful with men who were really on the short list of they're unmovable. They really can't change. They'll just be cycling through prison until they die, or they're going to get killed because they're just not going to change, and they're just, you know. And so these were really considered the disposable men, you know, because they had not responded well to other programs. And again, they were just really cycling through the system. But we had an understanding about, you know, the impact of trauma. But more importantly than that, because the trauma piece is what did allow us to say, yes, let's do programming. But more than that, I had this understanding in working with them, which was that inside of them was a home. I knew they had a home within. I knew that it had, you know, the sustenance, a comfortable bed, and this beautiful light. I knew that they possessed that. I also knew that they probably didn't know that. Or maybe they knew a little bit about it, but they hadn't really fully embraced it. I knew that. And so my job with them was to believe in that more than anything else, that they had that home and that love was going to work on their behalf to get them home. I knew it was all about the love. And so my job was to believe that and hold a loving space for love to do its work with these men, with these throwaway men, with these men that, you know, just beyond, you know, beyond help. And it worked. The love power is so important. And, you know, even I'm very blessed that I can still stay in contact with some of them. And they'll say to me, you know, Judge Apophis, it wasn't for you, and da 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 da. And I said, and look, you know, you did it through the power of love. I really remind them that because, again, I'm not a magician, you know, like I'm a shaman, but I'm not a magician. And, but it really is about holding that energy of love. And, you know, to connect with love that deeply, you just have to be willing. You have to be willing. You can't make it up, you know. I had a routine that I would do every morning before I would go in and be with the men, and it would be to, you know, get still and to open myself up to be a vessel for the love, you know. And I would ask, like, Lord, enable me to just love them, just to love them, just to believe in their home within. And that's it. That's the work of it. And, you know, when you are suffering, when you're really in that deep pain, it's impossible to be able to think rationally, you know, or even be conscious, you know. So there's no way you can really, you know, believe that, that, you know, this force of love can come into your life and just change everything around for your benefit. So you need someone or someones who are willing to believe that for you and to hold the space for you. And you can ask for that, you know, when you are suffering. You can just want love to end your suffering. And just say thank you. Like, I want to be out of this. Thank you. And then, you know, the universe will send you everything that you need. So here's a personal challenge for this week. I want you to think about a time or all the times that you've run away from yourself. And what happened for you to return home to yourself. I want you to really think about that. Now, I can think about when I ran away from myself trying to recreate my past in terms of how I thought I was supposed to be working back in 2016 into 2017. And what happened to me is I overworked. I, you know, exhausted myself, and I ended up fainting and cracking the tooth. I got a smackdown, and it really woke me up to say, you know what, you're not treating yourself well. You're not liking yourself. Why aren't you liking yourself, Judge Paul? What's going on here, you know? And I had to really, you know, do what I call my come to Jesus meeting and really talk to myself about, you know, what was going on. Where was it that I was in pain around who I was and why was I doing that? You know, you do that contemplative stuff. And it's great because it brought me home to myself. Could finish writing my book, which I'll be telling you more about on the next broadcast. But anyway, think about that again, all those times you run away from yourself and what happened for you to be able to return home. This is so that you're raising your consciousness and your awareness about the fact that you can ask for and receive gentle reminders rather than having to get a huge smackdown to return home to yourself. See, we can consciously learn to stay with and maintain our home within, which I'll be talking about on the next broadcast. So this exercise, this personal challenge, is just to help you begin or continue raising your consciousness about that home within and the fact that we do run away, but that we can come back home. And we will come back home because, again, love is going to call us back. It will call us back and it will bring us back. It'll give us the will and the courage to take the necessary risk to go back home to ourselves. Wow. Amazing, amazing, amazing stuff. And I have come to the conclusion of this wisdom sharing for tonight. So I want to begin my closing by thanking my wonderful engineer. I am so blessed that I actually got Brother Jason X to be my engineer tonight, which is very unusual. He's an incredible human being, very gifted and talented as a rapper, as a poet, and as a wonderful engineer. I always love and can feel his energy when I'm doing my broadcast. So, Brother Jason, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking out the time from your busy schedule to hold space for my broadcast. I also want to shout out to all my regular listeners out there, to Ms. Sarah, who's one of the kindest and wisest people I know. Thank you so much for allowing me to share your personal story. To all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, and those who may be listening in for the first time. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. I couldn't do this without you and your listenership. Next week, I'll conclude my Home Within series with a broadcast on maintaining your home within. Don't forget to check out my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, where I promised last week, but I promise I'll do it this week. I will post both personal challenges. In fact, I'll post all three of them so that you can have them to refer to more easily. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous fire week coming up tomorrow with this wonderful full moon in Taurus. Remember, release all that stuff that doesn't work anymore. And do remember that you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.